Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I know that I don't need to tell you that the Corinthian church was guilty of divisiveness. There were divisions in the church that there ought not to be. And Paul deals with that as a serious problem. He starts talking about it in chapter 1, and he's still talking about it in chapter 4. That's taking up quite a bit of sacred writ, isn't it? It's not a minor thing. We've become so accustomed to that being the norm that we scarcely realize how serious it is in the eyes of God. It's a very serious thing for there to be cliques and divisions in the church. And so after having dealt with it from several different angles through the first 3.5 chapters, Paul now gets to the heart of the problem of division in Corinth, and the root of the problem was pride. The divisions were actually caused by overinflated egos. These Christians were thinking too highly of themselves and not highly enough of others. This is a common problem, an ancient problem, a constant battle that all of us have if we understand our own hearts correctly and understand Scripture correctly. We wrestle with that. We wrestle with our pride. We wrestle with having an ego that is too large. We wrestle with the problem of always considering ourselves better than others. And therefore, may God help us to hear the word of the Lord in this section, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and following, which is where we are going with our study of God's word today. I thank you for joining me on this Thursday, July 8, and I thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's word on this station. Well, what do we have in this section? We have, number one, examples for emulation, verse 6. Number two, questions for contemplation, verse 7. Third, sarcasm for realization, verse 8. And fourth, description for information, verses 9 through 13. That'll keep us busy for a while. Examples for emulation, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Adjust your attitude about Paul and Apollos. And he sets before them two examples, himself and Apollos. He doesn't bring up Peter, but we know that earlier he had said the divisions are around Paul, Apollos, and Peter. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Well, let's talk a bit about Paul and Apollos. And he says, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos these things. Figuratively transferred. It's, I have used and changed various metaphors, agriculture, construction, stewardship. That's what he's talking about, figuratively transferred. He's talking about the figures of speech that he has used to try to describe this problem and explain it. But he says all of these figures, the various ones that I have used at various times, transferring from one to another, that's the idea that's being set before us here. But all of these are applied to Paul and Apollos for your benefit. Now these things, brethren, that I've been talking about previously, I have figuratively transferred to myself or assigned to myself and Apollos for your sakes. That, and here's the reason he has done this, you might learn in us not to think beyond what is written. That you might learn not to regard ministers of the gospel in some way other than biblically. To regard us above what is written in Scripture and what you are told in Scripture you ought to think about us. What Paul is saying is, I and Apollos ought to be appreciated by you within biblical boundaries. It's possible to honor a minister too much, to set him on too high a pedestal, to ascribe to him greater honor and greater prestige than is biblically proper. So, please appreciate us in the way that the Bible tells you to, no more, no less. Ministers like Paul and Apollos should be honored for their faithful labors, but not elevated to an unbiblical degree. And not, and here's the whole point of what was going on there, not to form rival parties around them. That would be the wrong way to honor ministers. You shouldn't do that. And it's clear that Paul and Apollos themselves did nothing to incur each of these carnal divisions. They didn't encourage anyone to attach themselves to one or the other. Paul didn't encourage any members of the Corinthian church to identify themselves with Paul as opposed to Apollos and Peter. And Apollos certainly hadn't done this. So where had this come from? Well, it's from this immaturity. It's from this carnality. He had dealt with their carnality, remember previously. What is a carnal Christian? That takes us back to chapter 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. This is immaturity. This is carnality, to attach yourself to a particular minister above another minister that is just as faithful, just as God-honoring, just as true to Scripture, just as sound doctrinally, just as hard-working, but you just don't like his style, you don't like his personality as much. You've got to be careful about that. You've got to be very careful about that. This is wrong. This is wrong. You must learn not to think of us beyond what is written. Back to verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. That, he goes on to say, none of you may become puffed up on behalf of one against the other. To be proud of your special relationship with one minister, and condescending to fellow believers because of your supposed superior relationship to that particular minister. And again, we see this in others, but may God help us to see it within ourselves. Sometimes we can see that speck in our brother's eye, but do we see the log in our own eye in this regard? We can recognize the problem very quickly when somebody comes around with their carnal name-dropping. Oh, the other day, when I was talking to so-and-so, big name, when I was talking to Paul, this is what he told me. Oh, yeah? Well, I was talking to Apollos the other day, and this is what he told me. And back and forth it goes, you know. Name-dropping. All of us have known some people who are obnoxious in their continual name-dropping. They know so-and-so. They have been in the presence of so-and-so. They've had a personal conversation with so-and-so. They have been involved with something that that pertains to so-and-so. As if their association with well-known people, and in this case, in the Church of Corinth, with famous ministers, somehow makes them better, makes them superior, makes them better Christians, makes them superior to their brothers and sisters in Christ. That is not so. That is immature. That is carnal. That is pride. Stop it. Stop it. In the case of Paul and Apollos, they practiced Christian unity, and they did not encourage this kind of carnality, but sad to say, not all Christian leaders are so scrupulous, and some of them encourage factions. Some actually try to build a little following for themselves, a little empire for themselves, and encourage people to become followers of them. In other words, they encourage these kind of factions. And these cliques within the church of Corinth had become a way to express their carnal pride religiously. Somehow it doesn't seem as bad as if it's religious, but it is. It's not only just as bad if it's religious carnal pride. In fact, it may be worse, because now it's besmirching the name of Christ. Now it is doing damage to the Church of Christ. And so Paul is saying, in effect, are you taking sides over your preferred leader? Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! I, as a pastor, have to deal with this from time to time. Someone will, who knows, someone will want to take a position, maybe about a particular interpretation of Scripture, and what it boils down to is, well, I believe what so-and-so teaches. I've read his commentaries. I've listened to him on the radio or listened to his tapes. I have studied after him, and this is what he teaches. And because he teaches it, I believe that. And if you don't believe what he believes, then you're wrong, and I can't listen to you. I follow so-and-so. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. In our day, no telling what it could be. I am of John MacArthur, I am of R.C. Sproul, I am of whoever. Fill in the blank. There's no end to it. People have their favorites, but these are carnal divisions. It's wonderful if you have studied Scripture, if someone has been used of God to help you understand Scripture better than you did before, to open Scripture before you, to open your mind to Scripture, to help you to get into it and to study it. That's wonderful. But the point is, you need to study the Scripture for yourself. Whatever it is you believe about Scripture, you believe it because you see it for yourself and you can defend it from Scripture apart from what anybody else has said. You don't need somebody else's commentary. You don't need somebody else's study Bible and their notes in order to prove your position. If you can't open your Bible and prove it from there, close your mouth, zip your lips until you can. You're too premature. You're too immature. You're too carnal. You're too puffed up with pride. You're too divisive. You don't even realize it. You've got a log in your eye. Stop it. Slow down. Quit it until you are more mature. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.